Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's message is presented by Ken Holsberry, the preaching minister at the 10th and Broad Church. Let's tune in now for Ken's message.
Well, I really do always want to and try to preach helpful sermons and sermons that are practical and that have some application. And while I was preparing for this particular sermon, I want to tell you about something I experienced because I was in McDonald's and behind me, these two little boys began to yell at each other at the top of their lungs. And one of them was saying over and over, "He ate mine! He ate mine!" Well, their mom was not right there at that moment. She had gone into the restroom, and so they took this fight to her. And they walked through the restaurant, still yelling, "He ate mine," into the bathroom, where we could all still hear them yelling at each other. When mom and the boys came out, as you can imagine, she had both their hands and she was walking, and she got to the table and she began to clean it up as fast as she could because she wanted nothing more than to get out of that place as they were still yelling, "He ate mine, he ate mine." At one point, the little boy yelled, "There is a big difference between eating and being a pig." She got them out the door. She had been so calm up till that point. She got them out the door, and we heard her through the glass at the top of her lungs yell, "Be quiet!" And I thought, what in the world could I say to that woman that would be helpful and that would be practical? Moms are over here saying nothing. Say nothing, Ken. But the Bible does have something to say about life to us and about being thankful and about having joy and experiencing happiness. And so over the next few weeks, we're going to spend some time in the letter that Paul wrote to the Philippians. And he talks so much about joy and about happiness. And so we're going to spend some time, and I do hope that it will be helpful and practical if you're in McDonald's and your kids yell, "There's a difference between eating and being a pig." Well, Danny introduced himself and said, "You might know me as," and last Sunday, we had our grandkids with us, and so I went up, Paula was teaching, and I went up to pick up the grandkids, and as I poked my head in the door, sweet little Maggie, don't see where Maggie is, I guess she's in preschool station, but sweet little Maggie pointed at me, and she said, "You're the guy who talks during church." Well, happiness, where do we start as we talk about happiness? And we're going to start in Philippians chapter 1, where Paul started, and Paul started with relationships. It's almost impossible to be happy if your relationships are unhappy. It's just kind of a reality. It's almost impossible to be happy if your relationships are unhappy. So we're going to start there this morning. Because you can have more money than you know what to do with, but if things are not right with your spouse, you're not happy. Or you can have the job of your dreams, but you don't get along with your kids, and so there's not going to be much joy in your life. Or you can have great stuff and go on fantastic trips, but you go alone, and it's just not the same. So, whatever the circumstances are in your life, how do you live with joy? Whatever the circumstances are in your life, how do you live with happiness? And we're going to start with relationships. Because so much of your joy, of your happiness, of your gladness is going to be connected to that. Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 through 11, Paul is going to model some good relational habits for us. And so I want us to look at one this morning. And it's really easy to talk about, really easy to explain. It's not always as easy to put into practice, but the Christian life isn't easy. It is hard. It requires work from us as we work with God to work out our salvation. And so let's work toward healthy and toward happy and joyful relationships. And Paul starts by saying, if you want to have healthy relationships, then you must be grateful. If you're following along in your outline, you can write the word grateful. I must be grateful for the people in my life. Because gratitude is a key. Gratitude may be the key to happiness. To have a spirit in you of thankfulness, of gratefulness, gratitude. The more grateful you are, I can say this 100%. The more grateful you are, the more joy you will have. The more grateful you are, the happier you will be. Lots of other stuff can and will be going on. But I promise you, if you will cultivate gratefulness and thanksgiving in your life, it will produce a fruit. And that fruit, one of those fruits, will be joy and will be happiness. So when you think about the people in your life, think about your spouse. Think about your parents. Think about your children. Think about your friends. Think about people you work with. When you think about the people in your life, where do you go first? Do you go first to, you know, I really like this in him, or I'm thankful for this in her? Or do you go first, which I confess that I do sometimes, especially with those people I work with. Just kidding. Do you go to, oh, you know, it just drives me crazy when he, or, oh, I wish she wouldn't. Which one is your default? Whether it's people in your life. If you think about those people and you think, what could or should they be doing for me? Before you think, what could or should I be doing for them? The longer we're in a relationship, the easier it is to take the people for granted. And their faults stand out more. Their quirks drive us crazy. It's very likely that the things that attracted you to your spouse are the things now that drive you the most crazy. That's the way things work when we've been together for a long time. And so we have to cultivate. We have to continue. And we do this through the Spirit. I want to say, because I have really, the Lord has taught me this lesson in the last two years. I don't want to say to you, buckle down, work hard, you be grateful. What I want to say is, you abide in Christ. You stay connected to the vine. You invite and be filled continually, Ephesians says. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. And let Him feed you. Let Him nourish you. And let being connected to the vine, to Christ, produce this fruit in you. So I want to make sure that you hear me say that as we talk about cultivating gratitude in our lives. One of the ways that you do that is when you think about, we'll just talk about some of the relationships. When you think about someone who's close to you, your spouse, maybe. Do you give a short prayer of thanks for her or him when you think about them? Just a sentence to say thank you, God. Or you might need to say, and I'm being serious about this, Lord, would you remind me of why I love him or I love her? Would you remind me of a reason that I'm grateful? That's okay to do too. Kids, teenagers, when you think about your parents, do you think, God, I am really, really thankful for these people? And if you don't, it's okay to say, God, would you remind me of why I'm grateful for my parents? These are ways to cultivate Maybe it's a circumstance, your job. Do you think, God, thank you for this job? Or do you need to say, Lord, would you remind me of why this job is a good job to have? If we will do that, if we'll cultivate that, we will be happier. Because there is a hard reality that we have to deal with. And there are people, and there are people in this room this morning who would say, but you know what? I'm not happy. I'm not happy. I'm not happy. My marriage, I'm not happy in my marriage. I'm not happy with my kids. I'm not happy with my work. And I hope you'll hear me gently say, your marriage is probably not as bad as you think it is. And your raising wasn't as awful as you're remembering it. And your job really isn't that terrible. It could be worse. That's not the reason, usually, that we are unhappy. Because you could change your circumstances. And I've watched people do this. I've watched people sit in my office and tell me how bad things are, and they just need a change. And so they're going to move. They're going to move where they have no relationships and nobody, and things are all of a sudden going to be better. And they never are. Because you could change your circumstance. You could get out of the marriage. You could leave the home. You could get another job. And I promise you, you'll be just as unhappy. Because before you try to change the people around you, before you try to change the circumstances around you, before you try to change the location around you, and if you are here this morning, if you are online listening, or you're in the future listening back to this, hear the Lord say to you this morning, before you try to change the people or the circumstance, would you give gratitude a try? Would you give it a try? And see if something doesn't get better. And see if something doesn't change. Because if you want to be happy and you want to live a life filled with joy, I'm telling you this morning from Philippians, the Holy Spirit teaches us, cultivate gratitude, gratefulness, thanksgiving. There are too many Christians who have been influenced by the ways of the world. And they say, well, God just wants me to be happy. And out of that sentence, out of that belief system, out of that theology, God just wants me to be happy. I've watched Christians justify sinful things. Ungodly, unwise decisions. And that's Disney theology. It is not biblical theology. As I look through Scripture, the goal that I see from the Lord is not that He wants me to be happy. What God wants for me and what God wants for you is to be holy. His greatest desire for you isn't your happiness. His greatest desire for you is your holiness. And I think you will be surprised to find that you will be happier when you're living holy, when you're following the Lord closely, connected to Him, abiding in Him. And if you are doing that, it is through these circumstances of life that are really hard that God is making you holy. It's through the hard job. It's through the hard relationships. It's through the difficult circumstances that God is shaping you and molding you and making you holy. So don't miss out on what God's doing for you. I remember a preacher one time saying, I want to make it through this crisis because I don't want to have to do this again. I want to get the lesson God's teaching me this time. I don't want Him to have to teach me again. Paul writes in verse 5, I thank God for the help you gave me. I thank God for the help you gave me. When Paul wrote that, he was in prison. If you know anything about Philippians, you've heard preachers say this before. He was in prison when he wrote these words, and the church in Philippi heard about his imprisonment. They collected a gift of some kind for Paul, and they chose one of their own, a man named Epaphroditus, and they sent him to Paul with the gift and said, stay with Paul and make him more comfortable. And so Paul is writing a thank you note back to the church. That's why Philippians is so full of joy and happiness and gladness, is because Philippians is a thank you note. And that's what you write in a thank you note. I'm thankful for you, Paul says. I thank my God every time I remember you. Okay, Paul is writing to Philippians and he says, when I think about you, I thank God for you. Now, if we flipped back to Acts chapter 15 and 16, and we read what Luke wrote there about the things that happened to Paul and all the circumstances that went around Paul when he was in Philippi, we would say, Paul, what is it that you have to be thankful for? Because when we go back there, Paul is seized by a mob because he drove an evil spirit out of a young girl. And that mob dragged him before the local justice of the peace. And he said, this guy's causing trouble. And so they took rods and they beat Paul with these rods. And then they threw him in jail. And he experienced an earthquake. And then when the authorities found out that he was a Roman citizen and what they had done to him, they could not do. They thought, we've got to get this guy out of town and get him out of town quick. And so they escorted him outside the city. And yet, Paul, however long this is, looks back. And when he thinks about Philippi, he says, I thank God for you. He thinks about those people. What does he have to give thanks for? He remembers and gives thanks for meeting Lydia on the bank of a river as she came to worship God. And he told her about Jesus and she believed. And he gives thanks because he remembers they went back to her house and she opened her home out of hospitality and the growing church began to meet at Lydia's house. Paul says, that's what I give thanks for. I give thanks for Lydia. Paul thinks back to a young girl. We don't know her name. And he gives thanks because God crossed their paths. And Paul saw she was being taken advantage of, manipulated by some guys and by a demon. And Paul commanded it with authority in the name of Jesus to leave. And it did. And that girl, we don't know the whole story, but I bet Lydia took her in. That church began to love her and teach her. And Paul's given thanks for that girl. Paul's given thanks for a jailer. We don't know his name. A jailer wouldn't have been a really nice person. Been a pretty rough place to be, and you'd probably be a pretty rough guy. But an earthquake happened and the jailer was about to take his life because he knew what the authorities were going to do to him if the prisoners got out. And Paul intervened and preached the gospel to the man. And the man at that moment believed and got his whole family. And in the middle of the night, they were baptized into the Lord Jesus Christ. When Paul thinks about him, he gives thanks. See, it's people who end up mattering more than circumstances. Paul says, I give thanks when I remember you. You see, here's what Paul had that is helpful if you're going to cultivate gladness. Paul had selective memory. Now, I have selective memory, but not the spiritual good kind too often. Paul had selective memory. He chose what he was going to remember. He chose what he was going to dwell on. He chose what memories he was going to bring back up. You remember how we talked about in our series, how we talked about you get to be the air traffic controller and you get to control what thoughts land in your mind. And you get to say to some planes, no, turn around, you can't land here. And you get to say to some planes, come on in. Well, Paul did that, not just with tempting thoughts or anything. Paul did that with his memory. And he chose to remember and let land and dwell on those people rather than those circumstances. And it contributes to your happiness because you know full well, whenever you dwell on the bad and whenever you drudge up what someone said to you or what they did to you or how they treated you or how they didn't treat you, you know that never leads to happiness. You don't finish that thought and look up and say, whew, I feel better now. You never do. And so, again, we talked about personal responsibility in that series. Take personal responsibility for your thoughts. It will help you cultivate joy and happiness. Remember the best and forget the rest. Again, it's much easier for me to stand up here and say that, but I'm telling you, it's a practice that you ought to cultivate. Remember the best, forget the rest. Well, I started telling you about the lady at McDonald's, wondering, not in that moment, but as a preacher, if she was sitting in this church, what would I say to her that would be helpful? Well, later that day, I ran into a lady who really does have a hard life. There's just no way around it. She has a hard life. And as I'm talking to her, I'm thinking about her and thinking, what am I saying to her on a given Sunday? And is it helpful to her as she lives through this hard life? But then in the middle of the conversation, she kind of paused and she said, but you know what? I have a lot to be grateful for. And I thought, she just preached the sermon right there. She just said it right there. That wise and faithful follower of Jesus spoke the truth that I'm trying to preach. But her sermon's much more powerful because it comes right out of her life. You know, I really do have a lot to be thankful for. So if you want to have joy, if you want to be happy, and who doesn't? Develop this habit of gratitude. If you want to be happy in your relationships, be grateful for the people you're in relationship with. I want to invite you to think about a next step that you can take this morning. A next step toward joy. And no step will ever contribute more to your joy than the step toward Jesus Christ. And so wherever you are with Him this morning, I want to invite you to step toward Jesus in faith, in trust, in belief, in following Him and obeying Him. And you can come and talk to me. You can go and talk to one of our elders and his wife who will be over here in the prayer room afterwards. We will walk with you as you take that step. Maybe that's a step into the waters of baptism. Maybe that's a step into a disciple group. If you are here this morning and you're one of our guests and you've been coming for several weeks, I'd love for you to take a step to be a part of our church family. Walk with some other folks who are also trying to cultivate gratitude and thanksgiving. Connected specifically with the sermon, I want to invite you to take a step this morning toward gratitude. And here's how I want you to do that. On the bottom of your outline or on your bulletin or on a note in your phone, I want you to write down the name of one person or one circumstance that you are dealing with right now. One person or one circumstance. It might be your spouse, it might be your children, it might be somebody you work with. somebody you're in a project with. It might be your marriage, it might be your work, it might be a task you're really struggling with. Whatever it is that you write down that the Lord brings to your mind, just write that down and then commit this week to finding reasons to be grateful and thankful for that person or that situation. It's where the rubber meets the road. It's how we cultivate gratitude. I also invite you to come back next week, because we'll keep working through Philippians, looking at another habit that Paul models for us that I really, really do think will be helpful to you. And that is, Paul shows us how to pray for the people in your life. Let's pray now. Father, thank you. We begin with being grateful to you and saying thank you to you, as we have done all morning long, for who you are, for what you have done and what you are doing. We want to be the one leper who was healed, who turns around and comes back to your feet, Lord Jesus, and says thank you. And this week, Lord, remind us to remain in you, to abide in you, to stay connected to the vine, where we will be nourished and fed, and where the Holy Spirit will produce in us this fruit of gratitude and thanksgiving. So we lift you up, Lord, and say thank you. Amen.